The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Play Action Podcast. Lance Lysowski joins me. I'm Catherine Fitzgerald, and it is time to talk all about the draft. NFL draft coming up, Buffalo Bills on the clock almost. It's going to be that time. We'll break down offense, defense, and weave in some players that we're interested in. But Lance, let's start with offense and the Bills' needs.
It's interesting, right? I think everybody wants to talk about receivers. That's always the topic that fans like to discuss. I think even nationally, everybody looks at this offense. Everybody wants to put the best receiver available with Josh Allen. I get it. But their biggest need on offense, Catherine, is really the offensive line, right? I mean, they lost David Edwards, so you could look at left guard. They lost Ryan Vandermark, so you could look at tackle, probably lesser so since they have Deion Dawkins and Spencer Brown. But really, I think that we may be surprised with how high they select a guard. It's such an important position, not only with David Edwards gone, Catherine, but Osiris Torrence is entering the last season of his rookie contract.
Yeah, it's not the most necessarily exciting pick for fans who are clamoring for a wide receiver year after year, but it's a need. This team goes as Josh Allen goes, and he goes as the offensive line goes. So when you look at it in that vein, I think it's so important to consider, some of the options available there.
Yeah, I know they have Alec Anderson, who's probably the leading candidate to start left guard as we sit here today. They signed Austin Corbett, who, you know, veteran, they're going to have him compete. He can play center as well. But you have to think they're probably interested in bringing in some competition for him. Curious, Catherine, where do you stand on the whole receiver question? Because to me, like, it's not really my opinion, but they already traded a second round pick to get DJ Moore. They spent a second round pick a few years ago on Keon Coleman. They're spending a lot of money on their receiver room is really expensive. I know, you know, it's hard to believe, but you know, when you have Joshua Palmer, DJ Moore, Khalil Shakir, and how often this team uses two tight ends, I just wonder if it's as much of a need internally as maybe people on the outside perceive it to be.
I think there's the internal external question. For me, it's the heart and the brain. My brain says you can wait a little bit, hold off. But I don't know. Sometimes I just look at some of the prospects and I'm like, go get a guy, get a receiver. it's again about maximizing Josh Allen for this Buffalo Bills team. And, picking at 26, I think there's some good options that are going to be there. Obviously, they can trade back. That's an option too. Lance, you wrote some about that this week. We can talk about that throughout this podcast. But I don't know. I think on paper, I can understand that there are other needs for this team. They're revamping the defense, which we'll get to next segment. But I just think, I don't know. Receiver speaks to me, Lance.
Yeah. No, I get it. And I would feel a lot more comfortable if I were in that position to make the decision if you did trade back. So you get an extra pick. It makes a world of difference. I think that was sort of the message I was trying to get across when I wrote the story that I did this week, because I know it's just one player and it's probably a third round. You might get two third round picks if you trade back. Doesn't seem like much, but it really is. Those day two players, you can get an immediate starter at a position in need, and it allows you to maybe take that luxury pick, so to speak, with the wide receivers. And I'm with you. You've written a few profiles about some of those players like Casey Concepcion. Like, I get it. I get what's so intriguing about taking a player like him. The speed, what he does is so different from everybody else in that Bills receivers room. And let's face it, as much as we sit here today, they have Keon Coleman, they have Joshua Palmer. How much can they rely on those two based on not only, you know, Joshua Palmer was banged up all of last season. To me, like, I think the whole Coleman thing, it's not even just a matter of, you know, being late to meetings or whatever. He's still a young player. Can you really go into the season relying on him to play a big role in a year where I just have a feeling the Bills are going to be throwing the ball a little bit more with Joe Brady as head coach? So if you're going to do it a little bit more, yeah, just gas up and put as much talent on the field as you can. I get it.
Yeah, you mentioned Concepcion. I liked him at the combine. Just, you know, Rochester guy. It's a lovely story. His dad's a Bills fan. This is an interesting receiver class. Wrote about them the other day of just kind of There's a good mix of guys, some who are going to go before the Bills pick, obviously. But I think just kind of looking at the different skill sets, that's always what they're looking for, the Bills, is to mix in guys, to have a diverse cast of receivers. And so I think that's a way they could, bring in someone who they don't have that skill set on the team right now.
I'm even intrigued by the later round guys, like Malik Benson from Oregon or Ted Hurst from Georgia State. There's some, and that's the one thing about receivers. I know we always look at the first round, but especially with that position, the how much 7-on-7 has become so popular among high school kids. Every year, it seems like every draft class is just filled with talented receivers. And the same can go for defensive backs because 7-on-7 is so much of those guys applying their trade and developing and becoming better. So that's another piece of this. Can you just wait? You can still probably get a guy who can contribute right away, but does it need to be that in that first round range? And the other position I'm curious about, Catherine. I'm curious. I want to know your thoughts. I wrote the position preview on tight ends. I got some angry emails from some readers who were like, "Why are you wasting ink on tight ends? They got three good ones." And you know what? I get it. You got Dalton Kincaid, you got Dawson Knox, Jackson Haas. You're probably set there, but devil's advocate. Dawson Knox is turning 30. Dalton Kincaid has the knee issue. And this team doesn't have a fullback. I just thought outside the box, what if Joe Brady, if you can't find a fullback, why don't you just line up Jackson Haas at fullback 7 times a game? And you can put a different tight on the field. It gives you some more options. Now, that is no inside information. It was just a thought I had because if you don't. Joe Brady said, he likes fullbacks. It's not going anywhere. But if you don't find one and you already have this guy who's an incredible blocker, draft another tight end with a different skill set who maybe can line up in the slot and give you something a little different.
I'm fascinated by the angry emails about wasting ink because I wrote a preview on quarterbacks. The Bills do not need a quarterback. They are set. But we do preview every position here at the Buffalo News just because, one, it's good to know players who are out there, but also, it all kind of domino effects. If one team goes for this guy, it's going to ripple effect who's available for the Bills and who's not. Tight end, I see your point. I do. I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised.
Yeah, that's a fair way to put it. And it's the same thing with quarterback's almost similar for the same reasons because it's all about the you would pick a guy who's probably not going to be dressed. He's not going to be on your game day roster every week. Quarterback, I like the idea of signing an undrafted free agent. I like that. I think that especially with how expensive quarterbacks, even backups have gotten, I really am intrigued at the possibility of the Bills signing somebody young to be in that room with Josh Allen, and you can slowly bring the person along, not to be your starter, of course, but to eventually become a backup who's going to be a lot cheaper than like Kenny Pickett got $7 million a year, Catherine. Like, with all due respect to Kenny Pickett, I'm not paying him $7 million a year, and it's such an important position that that's just an example. I think that it's easy to simplify what they need and what they don't, but it's also undrafted free agent, it's seventh round picks. It's an interesting time of year, and I just think with where this offense is, like as much as we think we know what it is and what the plan is going to be, Joe Brady's changed every year. We went from jumbo to more fullback and 13 personnel. What's he have up his sleeves for 2026? Defense, Catherine. New defensive coordinator, Jim Leonard, which means a 3-4 base scheme. Very interesting. Greg Rousseau's an outside linebacker now. The one aspect I think we need to touch on before we launch into what their needs are, they're not going to always be in a 3-4. You're going to see them four guys on the defensive line. It's going to be multiple. The looks are going to be different from down to down. I think that in game to game, that's one of the points that Joe Brady keeps bringing up. Yes, we are a 3-4, but remember, we're just because you think we need this, we don't necessarily need it. So I'm curious with. We've been doing this for almost 2 months since the combine. Where would you want to start? Because we could talk about almost every position on this defense one way or another, whether it be they need just depth or they need a starter.
Yeah, I think that's the fascinating thing about looking at defense for the Bills is you look at Brandon Bean's track record and how much he has invested in defense year after year. I know there was that chart going around on Twitter just showing like every team and how much they've invested offense defense and how heavily skewed the Bills have been towards defense. But they've got work to do on defense now, you know? I won't be surprised if they go heavy defense as a whole throughout the draft with their different picks. We can start up front, you know? They, like you said, I think it's so important to keep that context in mind of they are going to be mixing up things from a schematic point. It's not always going to look the same, but as much as they have invested in their defensive line over the years, they're going to need some different skill sets in there.
Yeah, and the big one is, do they need a nose tackle? That is a because if you're not in an odd front, so if you have four guys on the line, they're okay at defensive tackle. You have Ed Oliver, you have Deion Walker. We'll see what TJ Sanders can do in year two, but they don't really have a traditional nose tackle. So how much are they going to value that? I wrote a prospect profile, before we were recording this, about Caden McDonald from Ohio State. He's the best one in the draft, but he's going to be a first round pick. Do you spend a first round pick on a nose tackle if he's not going to be an every down player? It's an interesting debate. I think they need one. It's just one of those positions where you could probably get it later in the draft, and they've got to feel good about, they found Deion Walker. They don't really know what they have yet, though. And not only TJ Sanders, but Landon Jackson. Those are two players that aren't being discussed much in the discourse, we'll say, but they are going to play a role because the Bills are trying to decide where do they fit. Is Landon Jackson's probably, I don't think he's going to be an outside linebacker, so he's at 3-4 defensive end. With that in mind, what kind of skill set do they need there to complement not only what he brings, but Ed Oliver, if it's a three down front, it's gonna, a three man front, Ed Oliver's probably a defensive end. So there's just a lot of moving pieces, and that's what's so fascinating about this offseason, because Catherine, you've covered the team a lot longer than I have. In past years, you sort of knew the types of players the Bills were going to go after. McDermott had his guys. Like, he had like a certain archetype that he wanted in each position. That whole concept gets thrown out the window in so many ways, and really makes it kind of guesswork. And we're going to learn a lot about their vision for this team in the next couple of, well, in the next 10 days, 10 to 14 days, because not only is it going to be the draft, but it's the undrafted free agents they decide to bring in.
I think it's exciting in a sense of,
Yeah.
we're getting to chronicle this as it's happening. We're getting to see what the new identity of these Bills are going to be, is going to be. And just kind of watching as the draft unfolds, like, oh, these are the types of guys they're looking for. We're learning in real time. And I think defense especially is going to be so informative of that, since Sean McDermott, like you said, he had the types of guys he liked, and now new team. We'll find out.
Yeah, edge rusher is another position, that outside linebacker. They have Greg Rousseau. They have Bradley Chubb. Otherwise, though, Michael Hoyt's coming off a season-ending injury. When is he going to be ready? Javon Solomon sounds like he's going to be an outside linebacker, but we haven't seen him do that at the NFL level. So how much do they prioritize edge rusher? It's a deeper class, by all accounts. There's whether you take one in the first round or sometime on day two, that's the big debate the Bills are having right now. Yes, we like these players, this is how we order them, but what do we think about the depth at this position compared to this one, and how much does that really going to weigh into who we pick? Because edge rusher, there's guys available in the second round. The Bills don't have a second round pick, so it's, and what kind of edge rusher do you get? Do you need somebody who has that speed element? Do you need somebody who's more adept at stopping the run? Joe Brady and Jim Leonard made it very clear when they're building this defense this offseason, it is completely geared towards stopping the run, because they feel that you're not doing it, you're not getting to the quarterback if you can't even accomplish that. I don't want to call it a simple goal because teams are very good at it, but you have to take care of the run if you're ever going to have a chance stopping the pass and getting to the quarterback.
Let's talk inside linebacker for a minute.
Yeah.
There's going to be some turnover there. What stands out to you about either the group or guys you like? I know I have a draft crush, but I'll let you start.
I have a few at inside linebacker, and that's another one of these positions where you can get a, I think you can get a good player through probably round four who can play right away. It just goes back to you really don't take inside linebackers in the first round. So if we're
Right.
talking about the Bills trading back and, into the second round, there's a really good group there. You've probably got four or five guys who are going in the second round. Jacob Rodriguez from Texas Tech is, yeah,
That's
he's
my
very easy
Josh.
to like. There's some questions about whether, this time of the year is so weird in the NFL, reminds me of hockey in some ways because we're hearing about arm length. We're hearing about how big a guy's hands are. And one of the knocks against Jacob Rodriguez is, can he tackle well enough in the NFL? And that's going to be such a key for the Bills. It's tackling, it's stopping the run. Have trouble kind of picking apart that guy's game, though, Catherine, when he forced so many turnovers. He's a
Exactly.
playmaker, incredibly smart. He played quarterback, he was recruited as one. You got to love the story with him. He would. And it's funny, we were in Indianapolis at the combine, and nobody had brought this up, but he met his two the two NFL linebackers he enjoyed watching the most, Matt Milano and Terrell Bernard. Like,
Interesting.
yeah, very
Interesting.
interesting. It is such a position of need, though. Yes, the Bills have Bernard coming back. It's a 3-4 defense, though. He played it in college, it's different in the NFL. It'll be interesting to see how he fits. Dorian Williams, Joe Andreessen. They're going to get at least one inside linebacker in this draft, though. For me, Catherine, yeah, Rodriguez is really good. I like him. I like CJ Allen if you can get him in
Yes.
round two. Georgia, 3-year captain, played as a true freshman. You have to be a very smart player and to be able to learn that kind of a defense from day one. I like Caleb Ealarms-Orr from TCU is another guy that I like. Josiah Trotter, whose dad, Jeremiah, played for the Eagles. Connection there with, I know McDermott's gone, but the Bill, you like the
Oh,
NFL
connected.
lineage. You like the
Yeah.
NFL lineage with a guy like that. And he's very good at stopping the run. So I think I'm not worried about them coming out with one of these players who can start from day one. But tell me what you like about Jacob Rodriguez and how would you prioritize this position against the others on defense? Because you could easily make the case that inside linebacker should be at the top of the list.
I put it pretty high up for sure. You mentioned already Rodriguez's ability to force takeaways. I just think that's such a cornerstone of this defense. And there's going to be enough things changing about this defense that you want to still, you can't count on turnovers, takeaways by the defense. But I think if you have someone that generates them at the level he does, that's going to make such a difference of just getting the ball back in the Bills' offense's hands.
I would love to know how much they plan to have linebackers cover in this
Yeah.
defense, because that's one of the other things. It's not that Jacob Rodriguez can't do it. He just didn't have to as much at Texas Tech. And that was one of the questions that people have raised about how his game will translate and how early he can be picked. I think that you see the background, you see the production. I think he's going to end up. He's going to be talked about late in the first round. I think that he is that good, and in so many ways. I mean, the missed tackles thing. We'll see how that translates. But the work ethic, the story, the instincts, the stuff you can't teach is what really separates him. It just yeah. If I'm the Bills, free agency didn't go the way that they had planned an inside linebacker. The prices got a little outrageous for some of those guys, so they like the depth in the draft. Brandon Bean is pretty confident he's going to get somebody that they think can play right away. To me, it would be you'd feel better about it if they take one in day two and they don't wait until day three. But that is going to be a very interesting one, and I'm gonna ask you about cornerback.
Okay, interesting debate.
They have Christian Benford. They spent a first round pick last year on Maxwell Hairston, and the bulk of their free agency, especially on defense, was in the secondary. It was at safe. They signed two safeties, at least from the outside. You bring in CJ Gardner-Johnson, you bring in Geno Stone. They got a nickel corner, D. Alford, who can also play on the outside. So does that versatility that Alford provide you give you some confidence that you don't have to take a corner early? We'll see. You see on Twitter, you hear that the Bills are meeting with this corner or that corner. They're doing their homework on that position. And I do wonder how much their depth issues last season factors into that decision to go ahead and try to get somebody now. It's just one of those positions. It's hard to bring a guy in September or October. You want to feel better about your depth chart going into training camp.
Yeah, I mean, I think the depth issues at corner go back a few seasons even. You saw what happened in the playoffs 2 years ago. But I am anti-early corner. I mean, you look to a Christian Benford, a late-round pick who has been so productive. If Brandon Bean and his scouting staff are able to find guys late in the draft, I think that frees them up earlier. But it is an interesting, it's like a sneaky need, but it's not. I wouldn't put it too high.
Yeah, no, I'm completely with you. And it is one of those positions that you can wait on it. And that's how I kind of feel about receiver. To me, if you're taking a receiver in the first round, there has to be a clear gap between that player and everybody else. Corner, it's who fits in your defense. And yeah, I look at Denver, and then it's not the only place that where Jim Leonard coached, but it's his latest stop. He was in charge of the secondary. And yeah, they had Patrick Surtain, who's a, kind of a viewed as a generational player before he even reached the NFL, or generational prospect, I should say. But a lot of those other guys weren't really high picks. And I think that with the Bills and the way that they seem to want to build this, it's going to be stopping the run, being disruptive up front, and that helps your corners, and you don't have to invest as much. They just spent a first last year on one. They spent a first on Kyrie Elam a few years ago, and it didn't work out. So I think that I'm with you. Even if it's early on day three, I like the options that they have, whether that's somebody who can play nickel, whether it's a perimeter corner. I think you're going to see them bring somebody in who can help there.
Well, and that leads us to safety, which I think is also an interesting one based off kind of what they did in the free agency, who they're bringing back. And let's flip it to you. What are your safety thoughts? Just kind of where they need to address it.
If you're taking one, do it later. And the player has to be versatile. Like the one that stood out to me when I was going through prospects the last however many weeks is VJ Payne from Kansas State, because he can play strong safety, free safety, or nickel. And that seems to be, you look at who the Bills targeted in free agency, they want that versatile skill set. You got to play multiple spots if they're going to bring you in on this defense. And they want to, in some ways, change maybe the level of intensity from this defense. Not that they didn't have it, because you look at Shaq Thompson, they have some guys who really, that's just part of their personality, their DNA, the way they practice. I think Joe Brady wanted to bring a little bit more into that, and you're probably going to do that if you're going to add a safety. And a big piece of this is where's Hancock? Where do they put plan for Hancock to play? Because if he's a safety, you probably don't need one. You're probably okay. And where do they even, where does Jim Leonard see Hancock now? Can he help this season? Because if he can, then you're good. You can spend your draft picks elsewhere.
Lance, we are spending a lot of today looking into the future. So spooky. But let's look a little further into the future. The Bills are interested in hosting the draft at some point. Now, you've been reporting on this, and just kind of as we gear up for the draft as a whole, what could that look like?
Yeah, I won't show my entire hand. I'll leave some of it
Of
up
course.
to letting people read the story next week. But the stadium is it's going it would look more like what we saw in Green Bay, where the entire draft setup is around the stadium. You have the stage, you have everybody in that area, that there'll be events inside the stadium to showcase it. That is the Bills' vision for this. Yes, downtown Buffalo would be involved. That'll be part of the plan, because a lot of hotels downtown. There's all sorts of other events that go on the week of the draft through the NFL and all these other stakeholders. But it was interesting to speak to people in Pittsburgh about how much time and effort has been put into planning the draft that's being held there next week. Just the amount of committees that are they have like 10 or 11 subcommittees. They have almost everybody from the public sector. They have private businesses involved. So it is a massive undertaking. And it's not just the team that does it, it's the local tourism board that gets involved. And you have to submit a bid a couple of years ahead of time. It was really interesting to hear Pittsburgh is, this is going to be the biggest event the city of Pittsburgh has ever hosted in terms of the amount
Wow.
of people who are going to be coming into town, the type of
Yeah, that's
economic.
wild.
Yeah, you wouldn't have expected that. They've hosted all-star games for Major League Baseball, National Hockey League, had NHL drafts there. When you really think about it, though, there's, I mean, the furry con is there. The furries go to Pittsburgh every year. It's a whole thing. They walk around
It's
downtown,
still
they ride the
going.
Gateway Clipper around the rivers, but it's gonna be really cool. Like you're gonna, it's become such a huge television event, but it's also become a fan event. I think a
Yeah.
lot, yeah, I think all, a lot of the people who are going to be in downtown Pittsburgh next week aren't even from that area. Personally, like I have a lot of friends who still live in Pittsburgh and they're all dreading it because of the traffic. Like, they're all complaining about it because they're spoiled. I think that people here, though, would value it tremendously. And you wouldn't have to deal with all the traffic that you would in Pittsburgh, too. So, yeah, stay tuned. It was a fun story to report on and looking forward to writing it.
Yes, looking forward to reading it. Our other, happening now news is the Bills are starting their offseason program. They got to start early because of Joe Brady being a new head coach. I caught up with Deion Dawkins a little bit at one of his charity events, and he was saying there's a new energy. A very Deion way to look at something, but we'll get to look at that coming up next week a little bit. So, Lance, what are you looking for when it comes to these OTAs?
Yeah, the extra weeks are when you have a new coach, it sounds like, a, based on what Joe Brady has said, it's mostly strength and conditioning. So we're not
Yeah.
missing much at the moment. All the talk, though, in the coming weeks is going to be on new defensive coordinators. So, how is that transition going to be for all those guys on that side of the ball? How do they implement it, gradually? How do, it's a lot of information to put on a person, especially these younger players who haven't been in the NFL for long or haven't gone through, going from one defense to another. It's a lot for everybody, especially at this stage of the offseason. So it sounds like you don't want to burn your players out too soon. I am just curious, though, how the schedule, and I'll ask you and Jay this as we move forward, how the schedule under Brady this offseason compares to what McDermott usually did. And I want to hear from the guys on offense about what the whole mentality is going to this season to try to be even better than they were in 25. You got a new offensive coordinator, although he's not calling plays. You got a new quarterbacks coach. Brady was very deliberate about not retaining the entire offensive staff because he wanted new ideas. He didn't want to just settle for, okay, we're good enough, let's run it back. Brought in some people who can bring some fresh perspective, and we're not going to see it on the field really until we're in Pittsburgh, Catherine, but just interested to hear what the players have to say about that.
Most definitely. I was talking to Joe Brady a bit at the combine, and he already said he wants to mix up the schedule. So we're going to see what that looks like for us as well. But definitely a little change of pace for the players.
Yeah, change of place from the players, and there's the energy, Dion's quote is, as much as it's a very Dion quote, it is very telling, though, and I think it's going to be so accurate because you spend time around Sean McDermott, you spend time around Joe Brady, they're two very different people, and they're going to have a very different approach to the job in terms of the messaging, the energy that they bring. And not that that's a bad thing for Sean or it,
For sure.
hey, it's everybody does the job differently. I am curious though how the players respond to that, why it's going to matter. I think it's going to matter more in when the pressure is on. You need a coach who doesn't make everybody tighten up. But especially this stage of the offseason, like it's a grind. Like these guys, like some of them are, they're at different stages of their offseason workouts. It's not easy to just halt your offseason to leave wherever you're at to go work out for a couple of weeks. Probably helps though to have a head coach like Joe who is just doing it a little bit differently.
Yeah, so we'll be monitoring that for sure.
Yeah, no, it'll be and they're not done adding. I think before we wrap up, Catherine, and we're gonna record another one of these sometime after the draft. They're not done signing players either. I think it's important to point out, like, yeah, they're if they don't get an inside linebacker in the draft that they like, for example, or the right ones don't fall on their board, don't be surprised if Shaq Thompson's back or the door doesn't seem to be closed on Trey White either. So like that late wave of free agency, which the Bills almost are always involved in, feel like we're going to be writing some news stories in the first week of May about them signing somebody at some position. So another thing to keep an eye on.
Read it on BuffaloNews.com.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. We will be back. Well, we'll have you covered every step of the way before, during, and after the draft. And yeah, talk to everybody soon. Thanks for joining us.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. 4 great Western New York locations: Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's Pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.